In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, church historians tell us that the name Advent, which means coming, originally referred only to Christ's coming at Christmas, later referred to the threefold coming of Christ, his past coming in Bethlehem on the first Christmas, his future coming at the end of the world, and then his present coming through grace in our souls. By observing a spirit of humility, penance, prayer, recollection, and contrition during the season of Advent, we can prepare our souls for a worthy reception of our Lord in communion on Christmas Day, and also a fruitful and worthy celebration. The penance observed in Advent is not as harsh as that of Lent. The joyful expectation for the long-awaited Savior of the world helps us to perform acts of self-denial cheerfully in order to make ready the way of the Lord. My dearly beloved in Christ, perhaps this season of Advent will be quite different from others that we experienced. God has lovingly placed us in the midst of an unstable economy threatened by an ever-increasing inflation. Out of an infant desire to save the soul of each one of us, God has given us a chance to step back out of the way of the maddening rush of materialistic, worldly people who are desperately grabbing at anything which, in their erroneous way of thinking, will give them happiness and a brief moment of peace as the world gives. This Advent provides us with yet another chance to see what's really important in life and what will actually go with us into eternity, either our sins and negligences or our merits. You've heard many sermons in the past which were a call to practice the ideal for which Advent stands. However, we find that it's so easy to get caught up in the Christmas rush and frenzy, which has become a commonly accepted way of the world. Christ is far in the background and has been replaced by a vast assortment of items that you do not have any semblance of connection with the true spirit of the season. To show the further absence from the true meaning of Advent and Christmas, one is only to observe how, for the majority of people, the celebration of everything connected with Christmas seems to be over the day after December 25th. It's then that most of the natural trees can be seen in dumpsters. The artificial trees and decorations are scurried away, and the sighs of relief that Christmas Day is finally past can be heard. It's here worth reading the words of Maria von Trapp, written before Vatican II. She was the wife of George von Trapp, who fled with his family and 10 children from Nazi-occupied Austria in World War II. And came to the United States. They were Catholics and became famous as the Trapp family singers. You may have heard of them or seen the movie The Sound of Music, which is inspired by their life story. The following is taken from Maria's own words. The events that come to mind when we say Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost are so tremendous that their commemoration cannot be celebrated in a single day. Each. Weeks are needed. First, there are weeks of preparation, of being attuned in body and soul, and then weeks of celebration. This goes back to an age when people still had time to live, time to enjoy. In our own day, we face the puzzling fact that the more time-saving gadgets we invent, and the more new buttons to push in order to save hours of time, hours of work, the less time we actually have. We have no more time to read books. We can only afford digests. We have no time to walk a quarter of a mile. We have to hop into a car. We have no time to make things by hand. We buy them ready-made in stores. The atmosphere of hurry up, let's go, does not provide the necessary leisure in which to anticipate and celebrate a feast. But as soon as people stop celebrating, they really do not live anymore. They are being lived, as it were. The alarming question arises, what's done with all the time that's constantly being saved? We invent more machines and more gadgets, which will relieve us more and more from our work formerly done by our hands, our feet, and our brain, which will carry us in fervishly increasing speed. Where? Perhaps to the moon, but more probably, to our final destruction. Only the church shows light unto the gloomy prospects of modern man. Holy Mother Church, for she belongs herself to a realm that has its past and present in time, but its future in a world without end, eternity. It was fall when we arrived in the United States. The first weeks passed rapidly, filled with new discoveries every day. And soon we came across a beautiful feast, which we had never celebrated before, Thanksgiving Day, an exclusively American feast. With great enthusiasm, we included it in our calendar of family feasts. Who can describe our astonishment, however, when a few days after our first Thanksgiving Day, we heard from a loudspeaker in a large department store the unmistakable melody of Silent Night. Upon our excited inquiry, someone said, rather surprised, "What is the matter?" "Nothing is the matter. It's time for Christmas shopping." It took several Christmas seasons before we understood the connection between Christmas shopping and Silent Night and the other carols blaring from loudspeakers in these pre-Christmas weeks. And even now that we understand, it still greatly disturbs us. The weeks before Christmas, known as the weeks of Advent, are meant to be spent in expectation and waiting. This is a time for Advent songs, those age-old hymns of longing and waiting. Silent Night should be sung for the first time on Christmas Eve. We found that hardly anybody knows any Advent songs. And we were startled by something else soon after Christmas. Christmas trees and decorations vanished from the show windows to be replaced by New Year's advertisements. On our concert trips across the country, we also saw that the lighted Christmas trees disappear from homes and front yards, and no one thinks to sing a carol as late as January 2nd. Maria ends with the words, "This is all very strange to us, for we're used to the old world Christmas, which was altogether different, but which we determined to celebrate now in our new country." We can see that something is terribly wrong with this entire picture of the world's values. Often people may have the best intentions at heart to not get tied up in such a situation, but sadly it always seems to happen. At best, they remember to give some attention to Mass on Christmas Day, but they have neglected their true obligation to God and have ignored so many graces that have awaited them all along. Such a neglect of spiritual duties in lieu of materialistic ones only too often leave people bitterly disappointed. Family gatherings did not hold the love and warmth as expected. Old resentments emerged even in the midst of festivities, and maybe even new ones grew. New expenditures have nearly maxed out credit cards. All the energy expended in the improper use of God's time gives us the time that God gives us leads only to unhappiness and a feeling of loss and discouragement. All this can change if we remember to put God first. My dearly beloved in Christ, we need to realize that Christ hasn't arrived yet and that we need to get busy by preparing for Him first, and then all else will fall into place. God will never be outdone in generosity. St. Augustine said, "Christ came on earth that men might know how much God loves them." The incarnation is a proof of God's infinite love for us. God the Father, through incomprehensible love, consented to give his only begotten Son to ungrateful humanity, to his rebellious creatures. Through excessive love, the Son of God, abandoning himself to all the pains of his brutal passion, descended from heaven in order to take a mortal body, to live in the condition of sinful man, and to die at last under the blows of those for whose love he was annihilating himself. St. Alphonsus Maria Liguori says, Jesus Christ could save us without dying on the cross and without suffering. One drop of his precious blood would be sufficient for our redemption. Even a prayer offered to his eternal Father would be sufficient for the salvation of the world in 1,000 worlds. But as St. John Chrysostom says, what was sufficient for redemption was not sufficient for love. My dearly beloved in Christ, to show how much he loved us, our Lord wished to suffer from his very birth, and ultimately through cruel torments until his death upon the cross. Reverend Tesnier adds to this by saying, it's the miracle of love. For us weak and poor sinners, the Almighty humbled himself. The Almighty has known want. For us ungrateful, erring, and rebellious children, the Son of God sacrificed everything. For us, through pure love, through pure mercy, in order to raise us up again, to restore us, to render us happy, to reopen paradise to us. The love of Jesus for us does not end with his death upon the cross. Since love is perfected in union, Jesus chose to leave us his very body, blood, soul, and divinity as food for our souls in the Holy Eucharist. In this way, Jesus chose to remain with us until the end of time. My dearly beloved in Christ, we can see how he loves each one of us personally when we receive Holy Communion. Jesus loves us so much that he chose to remain with us in this way, even though he foresaw the sacrileges, outrages, and indifference that he would suffer at the hands of many until the end of time, especially those who would receive Holy Communion in the state of mortal sin. Knowing all this, no one should ever doubt that God loves them. This leaves us with the thought of such incomprehensible love must be loved in return. St. Bernard said, when God loves, he desires nothing else than to be loved. St. Alphonsus Liguori adds, God wishes nothing else from us but to be loved and obeyed. In view of such infinite love for us, how could we not love God back with our whole heart? This holy season gives us time and ways to prove our love for God. Think of how you expect your children to show their love for you. You expect them to obey and respect you, to be grateful for your care and the sacrifices you make to provide for them. You expect little acts of affection and love shown in various ways. God is our Father and we are his children. We can at least do the same for him. Extra masses, frequent and sincere confession, reverent reception of Holy Communion can all be done with great love and gratitude for his providing us with such means of grace. Very few people in the world have these means of grace. To whom much is given, much in return is required. Advent can be truly called a season of love and our response to God's love. St. Paul says that the love which Jesus has shown us in condescending to suffer so much for our salvation should excite us to his love, and not only oblige us, but in a certain manner forces and constrains us to love a God who has loved us so much. Our spiritual preparation for Christmas is much more important than our material preparation. To help you with more ways in which you can show God your love, let me suggest first observe Advent in union with Mary. Pray 5 decades of the rosary daily and try to get in an extra rosary. Do some spiritual reading. Read the Bible, especially stories of the Old Testament, such as David and Goliath, Daniel and the lion's den, etc. Set up an Advent wreath in your home and say the prayers every day. Often repeat that Hail and Blessed prayer. Make little sacrifices and acts of self-denial. Make continual acts of love to God. St. Teresa of Lisieux said that if you pick up a pen from the floor for the love of God, it's meritorious. Perform acts of charity. Avoid superfluous and idle talk. And keep a spirit of recollection and silence whenever possible. Most importantly, make a good confession. Attend Mass on weekdays and or on Saturday when possible. Do not put up Christmas decorations until the end of Advent. If you limit the time spent on your phone, computer, television, video games, etc., you'll find time to be able to practice all the Advent observances suggested, and your spiritual reward will be great. I pray that you experience an Advent richer in blessings and grace than ever before, and that you acquire a great treasure of merit. It'll give you great peace of heart, a peace that is unknown to the followers of the Spirit of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.